Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Bretall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
This is the Previews Spotlight for the August 2011 Previews Catalog. These items should start showing up in shops around October 2011. This is actually issue 275 of the Previews Catalog, so they've been doing this for quite some time. And we've been doing these episodes for quite some time. This is actually the 46th episode of these, and as we do every month, we're going to go from the front of previews to the back of previews. Do not worry, we're not going to go page by page, item by item. There is just too much stuff. So, the way we pick what items we're going to do is Bob and I pick a couple of things to talk about, our listeners pick a couple of things to talk about, and we have an open submission policy on that. So, if you're going through this thinking, wow, somebody should really mention this title, I just love it, nobody's ever mentioned it, record a clip, send it in next time for the next issue. You know, we want to hear from you guys as to what you guys are liking, reading and enjoying. So, I mean, Bob and I can find new items, too. I mean, I've gotten hooked on a couple of titles just because somebody else mentioned it, and I had totally missed it in previews. So please send in clips. Like I said, open submission policy. All you've got to do is record an MP3. We've got instructions on the form, and we're willing to help people through that process if they have questions. The goal is just a couple of minute clip, you know, 2-3 minute clip, if that. I mean, maybe only a minute or two of just, hey, on this page, there's this item. This is why I'm excited about it. And just sell us on the book. So, without further ado, let's get started in Dark Horse.
Welcome, comic book fans, to another month of previews. My name is Jack Patton, Gilgabob on the forums, or the White Rhino guy, if you prefer. My first pick of the month is going to be under the Dark Horse banner, page 24, Orchid number 1, written by Raging the Machine guitarist Tom Morello and drawn by Scott Hepburn. He's drawn some Star Wars stuff for Dark Horse already, so in this issue, it's set in a post-apocalyptic world and features a teenage prostitute and I guess her adventures in this world trying to, you know, survive. There seems to be some like genetic mutated animals in the nearby forests and whatnot, and some class disparities between the rich and the poor. And apparently there's going to be a song by Morello for each issue, I guess. Yeah, you're supposed to listen to it while you read the issue, I guess. I'm not really sure. It's kind of interesting, and this one also features a variant cover by street artist Shepard Fairey for only $3.50 if you're into variants, and the regular issue is only $1. Matter of fact, 50 cents at DCBS, so can't really go that wrong there for a new book from Dark Horse, so go ahead and check it out, Orchid number 1 in October.
Next up on page 28 is Star Wars Crimson Empire 3, Empire Lost number 1. Mike Richardson and Paul Galassi, the creative team behind the original Crimson Empire miniseries a decade ago, wow. They're back with a new 6-part Crimson Empire 3 miniseries, which is going to continue the tale of that last Imperial Guardsman. You know, this is set a couple of years after the events of the classic Luke Skywalker-era Star Wars trilogy of movies, and centers around a threat against Leia and Han Solo's family. So we're going to have Luke, Leia, Han, Boba Fett, pretty much all the classic stuff. And Galassi is just a fantastic artist and really captures that look and feel of the Star Wars universe. I mean, the first two of these miniseries were just great. I loved them. I'm really looking forward to this one. First issue is going to be 40 pages, cover price of $3.50. DCBS has a 50% discount on it. If you're into Star Wars but don't want to dive, you know, neck deep into all the stuff Dark Horse is coming out, this is really something I think worth checking out. It's, again, been great stuff in the past. I'm looking forward to what they're doing on this miniseries, too.
Hello, This is Ian Gatwin, and I'm a fan of this podcast. This month, I'm looking forward to Cull, The Cat and the Skull, number one. It's from Dark Horse, and it's on page 40 of the previews catalog. Now, David Lapham is the writer, and he's most well-known for, of course, the comic series Stray Bullets. And Gabriel Guzman is the artist, and just look at these lush pencils on the sample page, the previews catalog on page 41. Now, these guys are the last Cole series called The Hate Witch, and this is actually the third volume in the Cole series from Dark Horse. Now, Cole is a lot similar to Conan, but Cole is a little bit more of a thinking type warrior and a little bit less barbarian, but still, this comic will still have all the action of Conan. And with the new Conan movie coming out this summer and the new Game of Thrones series planned on HBO, there's a lot of tension on sword and sorcery type fantasy. And Dark Horse just does an amazing job on all their comic book series under the Robert E. Howard properties. Now, Robert E. Howard, of course, created both Conan and Cull and many of their characters. The price on this comic book is $3.50 cover price or $2.10 from DCBS for 22 pages of story and a 32-page comic book. And it will be released on October 12th. It's going to be a lot of fun, so check it out. Thanks, Bob and John.
On page 51 of previews, we've got Usagi Yojimbo number 141, which is actually the 200th issue of Usagi Yojimbo, counting the different publishers that Usagi has been with. And this is celebrated with a special story, 200 Buddhas, by master storyteller Stan Sakai. Now, for people who have not read Usagi, he is... Basically, it's Rabbit Bodyguard. It's set primarily in the beginning of the Edo period of Japan, and there are anthropomorphic animals replacing humans, but it is not a funny animal story. It's very heavily influenced by Japanese cinema and research of the period, and there are generally novel-length narratives in this, but there are also short stories that have underlying plots that play into the storylines also. And Stan has done a really, really tremendous job of creating a mythology based in relatively historically accurate fact about the Edo period of Japan, which is early 17th century. And this is a tremendous effort on his part. This should be a standalone story that someone can pick up and try out if they have not read Usagi before. And I can't recommend this highly enough. This is a masterful story. If you like historical fiction, if you like action, if you like adventure, characterization, great dialogue, Usagi is definitely something to try out. You can get this issue for 50% off, so that will be $1.75, and try it out on page 51 of your previews catalog.
All right, Jack again for my second pick of the month. Staying in Dark Horse, page 56, I've got Milk and Cheese, Dairy Products Gone Bad Hardcover. This is my pick of the month. I will definitely be picking this up. I'm a big Milk and Cheese fan. Evan Dorkin does not come out with new Milk and Cheese stuff very often, unfortunately. But this is going to collect everything from 89 to 2010, including some supplemental awesomeness. And if you've never read Milk and Cheese before and you've got kind of a sick sense of humor and don't mind a little pointless violence and drinking dairy products, then you will definitely like this book. I'm going to be picking it up. You should, too. It's only $11.99 through DCBS. Ridiculous value there for your money, or $19.99 regular cover price. So, as it says in this list, don't judge it, love it or else, in October. Milk and Cheese, Dairy Products Gone Bad.
Hi,
Hey guys, it's Damien here from LordShaper.com with my first pick for the month, which is on page 99, which is The Shade number 1. Now, this is the start of a 12-issue series written by James Robinson, cover art by Tony Harris, and art by Cully Hanna. I can't wait to see this one. I love it whenever you see James Robinson going back to that Starman sort of world. You know, all of us would have at least been told that we need to read the actual Starman series that he did back in the day. It's one of my favorite series out there, and I am really glad to see them coming back there. I wish that Tony Harris was actually going to be doing the art fall through, but doing the covers is enough for me at this moment. So this is number 1 of 12. It's coming out in October. It is going to be $2.99. You can't go wrong. It's James Robinson doing the world that he really created with Opal City. You've got Starman Museum kicks off with a globe-hopping, century-spanning quest for irrevocably change the Shade's life. So how can we go wrong? Okay, then. I'll let you go back to the guys otherwise.
My first pick of the month comes from the DC Comics section of the catalog, page 117, Legion, Secret Origin number 1, written by Paul Levitz with art by Chris Batista and Rich Parada. This looks to be a detailed look at the start of the Legion of Superheroes. Anyone who's read the Legion knows the basic outline of the origin. The three main characters who would become Lightning Lad, Cosmic Boy, and Saturn Girl save J.R. Brand's life, and he basically sets them up as a young kind of intergalactic law-keeping force. And that was fine for the Silver Age, and that origin pretty much has been retold several times, but usually in a very short narrative and very little change to it. Paul Levitz here is going to take a more detailed look, consisting of 6 issues, where we learn more about the Legion, what happened in those first years, and the things that went on around them. Specifically called out was, why was the organization known as the United Planets formed? Who tried to kill R.J. Brand the first time? And there's lots of other things. This could really, really be good. If you think about it, you're talking about young kids getting together and being asked to act in a democratic way with each other, and most of them thinking they're the best of the best. Knowing kids today, it doesn't work very well, and I wouldn't think it would work very well in the future. Anyway, I'm a big Legion fan, so I'm definitely jumping on this one. Anybody who hasn't read the Legion, this would probably be a great place to start. The Legion is not steeped in continuity of the DC universe, so you don't have to worry about that much backstory. And once you have the origin, you pretty much have the idea of what the Legion's all about. Young people trying to uphold the law and get through their life. So I highly recommend this. Now back to the guys.
All right. Jack again here with my third pick of the month under the Vertigo banner, page 131 in previews. Spaceman number 1 by Azzarello and Rizzo. They just got off the Batman Knights of Vengeance mini in the Flashpoint universe, which was excellent. And I'm always looking forward to whatever they come out with. And here we have Spaceman number 1, which is set in the near future, a post-apocalyptic near future. Oh, the future is always so awful. And this tells a story of a kind of a hulking loser who spends his days scrounging up scrap metal and somehow gets himself embroiled in a child kidnapping case, and the story of him taking matters into his own hands, trying to clear his name or find the child or whatever. Anyway, this is a 9-issue mini from Azzarello and Rizzo. $1 is your introductory cover price on this first issue. Only 50 cents from DCBS, so come on. Pick it up. Spaceman number 1.
Next up on page 145, IDW is mixing phasers and flight rings in the 6-issue miniseries of Star Trek Legion of Superheroes number 1. I'm really looking forward to this miniseries as a fan of both Star Trek and Legion of Superheroes. This series is going to mix the original Kirk and crew pre the latest movie, so classic Shatner, Kirk, etc., with some of the Great Darkness Saga Legionnaires. It looks like we're going to have Lightning Lad, Saturn Girl, Cosmic Boy, Chameleon Boy, Shadow Lass, maybe one or two others, don't know. And again, we get the full, original crew of the USS Enterprise. Now, Chris Roberson is writing this. He's doing some great work over on Cinderella, over at DC and Vertigo. He's doing quite a few other things. The guy is just a great writer. Looking forward to his work on this. And the art is by Jeff Moy with Phil Moy, I think, doing the inks on that. I know the Moys, have known them for quite a few years. It's interesting because they've worked on both Star Trek comics and Legion comics. They did the old Legionnaires series, did a great job on that. So while they haven't necessarily worked on this era of either Star Trek or Legion, because I think they did a Elite Forces thing, which was a Voyager era Star Trek, and again, Legionnaires versus the Great Darkness Saga era of Legion. But I know they're huge Star Trek fans. Obviously big fans of the Legion too, so I can't think of any better art team for this sort of a thing. They're great guys. I know they have photo reference for the classic Enterprise Bridge, because I went with them to the Star Trek Experience when it was at the San Diego Aerospace Museum back in, I guess, 2008, before Comic-Con that year. That was a lot of fun. But I just think these are two properties that seem like could be a really fun mix together, and it seems like what they're going to do is kind of mix up the universe, so it's not really the Legion's universe or the Star Trek universe, but kind of a mishmash of the two. Now, Bob did an interview with Chris Roberson on this, so if you want more information about the miniseries, check that out. Cover price is $3.99. DCBS has it at a 50% discount. If you like either Legion or Star Trek or both, check this out. I don't think you're going to be disappointed.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan again, back for another pick from previews, and it's a trade paperback coming out from IDW. It's called Rip Haywire. It's on page 169. And Rip Haywire is an adventure cartoon strip from the writer artist Dan Thompson. It's a contemporary strip, but it's a lot like the classic cartoon strips Steve Canning or Terry and the Pirates. And the solicitation reads as follows. Action, danger, dysfunctional romance. The adventure comic strip is back with a twist. Rip Haywire is a soldier of fortune, a brave, square-jawed man of honor. Lives for danger, accompanied by his cowardly dog, TNT, and his venomous girlfriend, Cobra. Rip tracks down lost treasure, takes down madmen, and takes on an ancient curse that promises heart-pounding action, danger, intrigue, and laughs. Now, I've been reading this for about a year online. It's very funny, tongue-in-cheek type humor, and the art is very good, I think. It's very cartoony, like it should be for a comic strip, and it's described as James Bond mixed with Indiana Jones for the Dilbert generation. It has a bit of that classic Mark Trail look, but mixed with some Nickelodeon channel animation style. I believe this is the first trade of Rip Haywire ever released. I mean, the comic strip was only first released in January 2009. The price is $19.99 for 112 pages, but with the DCBS discount of 35%, it'll be $12.99, and it will be released on October 26. It looks to be a great time, and I think you would have fun reading it too. Thanks, Bob and John.
And up from my favorite comics publisher nowadays, on page 178 is The Last of the Greats, number one. This is by the great Josh Fialkov, and the art is by Brent Peoples. This is a new creator-owned series by Josh and Brent, and the basic premise is there were seven super beings possessing the power of gods in the world, one for each continent. But now only, you know, people were jealous. You know, people took care of these super beings, and now there's only one left. And something happens, and humanity needs that one to help save them from annihilation. But he's not that happy about people anymore because of what happened to the other six of his brethren, the greats, these great super powerful beings. There is a page of preview art on page 179. Actually, it's a page that's got four pages of preview art, actually.
from the series. But to hear a much more in-depth chat about this series, I would direct you to the previews interview episode this month where I talked to Josh for a while about this. I also talked to him about his work on iVampire over at DC. I also talked to him about the pilot season book he's got on page 184 called The Test. But this is a great book. He sent me a PDF of the whole first issue that is being solicited here on page 178. I've read the entire first issue, and I'm going to buy a hard copy of it, even though I've already read it, which should tell you a little bit something about how much I enjoyed the first issue of this series. I'm really looking forward to this issue, and I'm looking forward to seeing this story that Josh is going to be weaving for us. Also, you know, if you like kind of a harder edge on your fiction, I would also ask you to go look out if you haven't found it yet or if you haven't read it when it was serialized in monthlies for the Echoes hardcover that's out by Josh and Rasan Ekadal, which is a beautiful, you know, dark, disturbing story, but beautifully done and tremendously good and really worth your while to check that out also. But, you know, for right now, for this one, comic-wise, Last of the Greats, page 178, Image Comics, check it out. Fabulous read.
Now, next up on page 185 is Witchblade 151. Now, last month with the solicitation of 150, that kind of marked the end of an era. So, of course, this marks the beginning of an era. Tim Seeley and Diego Bernard take over the flagship title of the Top Cow universe. Now, Witchblade is not only their longest-going one, but certainly what a lot of their universe kind of centers around, as witnessed in the Artifacts series. Now, this marks a brand new era post that Artifacts miniseries, so whatever that new status quo is, that's where these guys are taken off from. They've got three pages of pencils at the bottom of page 185 here in previews by Diego Bernard. They look great. I'm very much looking forward to seeing the full issue and how that works out. I'll admit, I had considered using this as a jumping-off point, but Tim Seeley's a really great writer. Diego Bernard, they showed some pencils here. I'm loving what I'm seeing. So I'm going to give this a try, see how that works out. And 32 pages, only $2.99. DCBS has the jump-on issue here at 50% off. How can you go wrong? If you haven't been reading Witchblade, this seems like an excellent point to jump on and try it out.
The Armageddon is over and the devil has won. So in the latest collection of stories from Dirk Manning with various artists, we have Nightmare World, Volume 3, Demon Days, coming out from Image Comics on page 189. This is a bunch of stories from the hit Shadowline webcomic, and we've got alien heroes, we've got Cthulhu and more to combine and create 13 tales of terror, and we're going to reveal Lucifer's sinister plan to control all of creation, revealing the haunted underbelly of a monstrous world. If you want to hear more about this also, we have an interview that the lovely Amber Love has done with Dirk Manning, and that's going to be in the upcoming interview episode. And as a special treat on this one, included with every copy of Nightmare World Volume 3 that you order from DCBS is going to be an exclusive CD single containing a remix of the song H.P. Lovecraft by the metal band Cockfight Club. And that's complete with a Nightmare World intro and outro skit written and performed by Dirk Manning. So that is a exclusive CD that is available only for people who do the orders via DCBS. So if that sounds cool, you might want to think about ordering Nightmare World Volume 3 from DCBS, page 189 of the previews catalog.
Now, jumping over into the Marvel previews for our only Marvel pick of the month, on page 9, we've got Incredible Hulk number 1. Now, the solicitation reads, Marvel architect Jason Aaron joins forces with legendary artist Mark Silvestri to Classified. I really hate these classified solicitations. I mean, it should be interesting to see what these guys have planned for the Hulk. I've heard rumor that Bruce Banner and the Hulk are not going to be the same. They're going to be separated again. May only be a trial separation. Maybe they'll work it out. I don't know. But we're going to have to wait until October 26th when this gets released to really find out what's going on, since this is a classified solicitation, which, again, I really hate those. It doesn't give me a whole lot to go on. And if I were on the fence on this, I don't know if I'd necessarily get it. But I like the Hulk. I'm curious what these guys are going to do. Again, Jason Aaron, Mark Silvestri, top-notch creative team. So it's not like they're tossing some random group on this to do it. These guys have the street cred and could do a really great job. First issue, 32 pages, cover price of $3.99, 50% discount through DCBS. So, I mean, I'm a hardcore Marvel fan. It's in the Marvel Universe. It's the Hulk. I'm going to get it. But, you know, if you are, you know, looking for a good jumping on point for the Hulk, this hopefully will be it. It looks like we're going to get a new status quo and stuff. And, you know, we'll see how this goes. I definitely think it's a issue worth checking out. Hopefully you'll like it. I also wish we had more information to go on for this, but we don't. So, pays your money, takes your chances.
Hey guys, it's Damian back again with my next pick for the month, which is all the way on 232. It is El Dorado number one. Now, this is something that caught my eye because I think it's actually based on a game that I've actually came across every once in a while, one of these skirmish type war game type things. You've got Kung Fu Masters, you've got Wild West Fighters, you've got demons, you've got anything, that sort of thing. From what I know of it, if it is based on the same sort of thing, it's basically all these people get trapped going toward and trying to work through hell while all the demons and stuff are trying to get their way out of it. So it's actually really interesting that it goes through that side of things. And as it says there, an unspeakable act of violence has altered reality itself, and the supernatural looms over the town of El Dorado. Hence, El Dorado. So, really, if you're interested in this sort of thing, with what's been coming out late, where we've had the Deadland stuff coming through, and that finished up for order last month, along with we've had the cult stuff going through as well, like this sort of fits into that whole sort of world there. So, it's good to see that they're actually branching out into some different types of things. And it's another supernatural Western type thing. So, hey, I'm really loving that stuff. So, I'm going to be picking this one up. Okay, it's on page 232, coming out from Ape Entertainment, and yeah, it's going to be $3.99, a three-part miniseries, so go and check it out. Okay, back to Bob and John.
Hello again, everybody. This is Jack, and my next pick is on page 288 of the previews catalog, and it's Legend of Oz, The Wicked West number 1 from Big Dog Inc. This book is written by Tom Hutchison with art by Allison Borges and features a alternate Oz reimagined in the Wicked Wild West. Dorothy Gale and her horse Toto must find the yellow brick road which has been stolen. No, yes, it's been stolen brick by brick, and they must travel from town to town trying to regain the pilfered bricks and reassemble it and find their way back to the Emerald City. This book is going for $3.50 for 28 pages. I think it's about $2.50 on DCBS. So if it sounds like fun to you, go ahead and pick it up. Legend of Oz, The Wicked West, number one.
I'm also looking forward to that Legend of Oz book. I'd like to point out that it's actually on page 249 of previews. Page 288 is a kind of pick of the month staff pick spotlight on that book. I actually talked to Tom and saw a preview of this book at the Phoenix Comic Con, and it looks really cool. I've enjoyed most everything that Big Dog Inc. has put out, so I'm really looking forward to this Western take on the Land of Oz, right along with Jack. And on page 255 from Boom Studios, we've got a new book from Claudio Sanchez, who is the lead singer and guitarist on Coheed and Cambria, also well known for the Amory Wars comic series. Claudio has brought with his wife Chandra Eckert, The Key of Z, number one. And what we've got here is a new vision of New York City after the zombie apocalypse has transformed the city into two separate battle-hardened fiefdoms. Only one man whose family has been ripped away from him stands between the two warring factions. Now, he has an artifact from the past that imbues him with a surprising power. So find out what he can do with this Key of Z. I'm guessing that the Key of Z has something to do with zombies in this post-apocalyptic tale. So I'm looking forward to this. Page 255 from Boom Studios.
Now, next up on page 175 is something that I find very interesting and actually kind of funny, because I think only Stan Lee is... I can't think of any other writer than him that could get away somehow with writing Stan Lee's How to Draw Comics. And then what we're getting this month as essentially the sequel to that, if you will, Stan Lee's How to Write Comics. He's a writer, not an artist. So the fact that the drawing one came first, I just find hilarious. But it's, you know, pretty huge book. Both are 224 pages. I've got the How to Draw Comics sitting in my hands right now. It's more talking about perspective, the how to tilt the head, how to, you know, get things in scale, how to do page layouts, eye flow. It's less about how to actually put the inks on the page, although it covers some of that too, than what to be thinking about to visually tell a story. Now, with this book of Stan Lee's How to Write Comics on page 275 here, we're actually going to get the how to script it, how to create the characters, how to create the plots, the motivation, the script, the whole nine yards. And really, Stan Lee's qualified to write on both of these topics because he is probably one of the most prolific, or certainly the most influential. Regardless of how much he put into any specific character, he was one of the guiding visionaries for the Marvel Comics universe, which is, you know, 50% of the top 300 sales these days. It's arguably the backbone of the industry. You look at all the movies they're coming out with these days. It's getting mass audience approval. Whether you think his writing is dated, whether you think it was that great or not back in the day, doesn't matter. The guy knew how to sell stories. He knew how to create sellable stories. He knew how to create interesting characters that still, you know, 50 years later, we're talking about and enjoying the stories of. Most of the core ongoing titles at Marvel are properties this guy helped spearhead, if not create himself. So, just like the How to Draw Comics is not going to be him actually drawing and stuff, some of what we're going to get is how comics should be written, not necessarily how Stan himself wrote it. They claim in these pages aspiring writers will learn everything they need to know about how to write their own comic book stories and stuff. And hell, if it covers half the knowledge of what Stan Lee has accumulated in his decades in the industry, It's going to be well worth doing. I mean, I'm a huge process junkie, so I just had to point this out. It's a, you know, $24.99 cover price for the soft cover. It's a $45.99 for the hard cover, which is a limited edition if you want that. I got the soft cover of the How to Draw, so I'll get the soft cover of this. Again, I'm a big process junkie, and think it's going to be interesting to see kind of Stan's view on how comics ought to be done and what advice he has. Anyone who's even considering being on the creative side of comics, or is just a big fan of Stan Lee himself, and I know there are many people like that, this is worth checking out. DCBS has it a 45% discount. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and even people not looking to write comics could find this very educational and insightful.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my last pick for the month, and this is probably the most anticipated issue I've been waiting for the last 2 years, I would say. It's on page 281. It's The Living Corpse Exhumed, issue 3. Now, this was originally supposed to be issue 9 of the series when it was coming out from Zenoscope, and why this is so you know, anticipated by me, it's because I'm going to be in it. This is the one where Brian and myself, from back when we were doing the Cryptographic podcast, we actually are being put into this issue as a couple of characters. So really, you're going to have to check it out just for that, you know, if you want to do something like that. But honestly, I love this book. I've got all the issues. I know Bob's a big fan of the book as well. So maybe we'll get John reading it this one. I'll try. Yeah. The offer's still there, but John, so you can, if you really do don't like it, you can, yeah, hit me up and I'll give you the money back for it. But yeah, this is, Ken and Buzz have been doing some great work with this. We've got the film coming out later this year. It's coming out with two covers and it's coming from Dynamite now. It's good seeing it back on, you know, on coming out again. So we had such a long wait for it. So check it out. I've got some preview pictures for it or images from it that you can find around on lordshaper.com if you look. And it comes with two covers. So check it out on page 281. Okay then, I'll let you go back to the guys.
And on page 291, something not to miss is Walt Disney's Donald Duck in Lost in the Andes by Carl Barks. Now, this is the first volume in an affordable series of full-cover hardcovers collecting the complete works of Carl Barks, who's known to fans as the Good Duck Artist. So, Carl Barks is considered one of the greatest and most timeless storytellers of all, and up till now, his works have been reprinted, you know, they're reprinted quite a lot in Disney Comics, but just randomly. There's also some very high-end collector's editions that I happen to have, but they were not cheap and they're out of print now. But now for the first time, Fantagraphics is going to do the complete works of Carl Barks in some relatively affordably priced hardcovers that are perfect for parents and children alike. You know, Barks began drawing Donald Duck in 1942 and continued Donald for the next 30 years. He's also created Uncle Scrooge. Uncle Scrooge came in a little bit after, but he did Donald for many years. And this volume has over 200 pages of vintage Barks from 1948 to 1950, including the title story Lost in the Andes, which was one of Carl Barks' personal favorite stories. Donald and Huey, Dewey, and Louie embark on a Peruvian expedition to solve the mystery of where square eggs come from. Now, this was a story that was also riffed upon by Don Rosa much later in a sequel story called Return to Plain Awful. But this classic stuff, and if you've never read Carl Barks, this is going to be a great way to be able to collect the Carl Barks library. We got the $28.99 for this 240-page hardcover, full color, and the first of many volumes from Fantagraphics that will be coming out for the next several years, collecting the complete works of Carl Barks on Donald, Uncle Scrooge, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and lots of the other members of the Duck family. Page 314, finally, 5 years in the making, Dave Ryden's magnum opus is finally here for the first time in a single comic. The War of the Independents brings together over 200 independent and creator-owned comic characters for the largest, most ambitious intercompany crossover ever made. When villains attempt to create an interdimensional doorway for world conquest, they wind up confronting a plethora of heroes from across the multiverse to stop them. Indie characters from Madman, Faust, Captain Canuck, Tick, Gumby, E-Man, Zen, Badger, Too Much Coffee Man, Scud the Disposable Assassin, She, Cerebus, Milk and Cheese, many, many, many more. I have an interview with Dave Ryan about this that'll be coming up on the interview episode, and there was a Kickstarter campaign for this book to help get it finally published. You know, some of the things that really helped get it out is getting those last agreements signed with creators for publishing rights to their characters, but tremendous effort this is really something you should be checking out. It's $2.99, but a 45% discount through DCBS. Well worth checking out. I urge everyone to give War of the Independence number one on page 314 a try. Next up on page 318 from Third World Studios is The Pack number one. Who killed Brian Foster? That's the question whipping through the small town of Marcellus, New York. Clearly everyone loved the local high school star football player, didn't they? At least that's what it seems to the new kid in town, Greg Jordan. But perhaps the question shouldn't be who killed Brian Foster, but what killed him? This is a werewolf story by Mike Raked, and art is by Daniel Fasolongo. Amber is going to be gracing us with an interview with Mike, where we're going to hear a lot more about The Pack and what makes it cool. And that's in our interview episode that you'll be able to listen to on the podcast feed. And in the meantime, that sounds interesting to you and you like werewolf stories, you want to check out The Pack number one on page 318.
And next up on page 322 is The Alternate Number One by 215 Inc. It's a three-issue miniseries about James Conrad, the world's first and only super being. Metal, as he's known to his fans, he's really more of a celebrity than a superhero. Kind of, again, more of a almost real-world take of what if somebody who, you know, in our world had superpowers. I mean, they're more likely to be on the talk shows than saving the world. But when an alien invasion happens, he steps up to the plate and, well, gets transported to a parallel world by an alien device. And in that world, his counterpart, Metal Man, is stronger, smarter, more heroic, and just one of tons of super beings in that world. So kind of take somebody as if they had a more real-world grounding and was the celebrity-powered celebrity of the day or whatever in our universe, kick him into something maybe more like a Marvel or DC universe where there's the more heroes and more heroic heroes and stuff. Seems like actually a lot of fun to me, you know? It could either be an interesting character study of what makes a hero, or more of a fun story, kind of like that Hero Squared stuff that Boom did, where you've got this loser and his super heroic counterpart or whatever, and kind of comparing the equivalent of the really meek and really mild-mannered Clark Kent to the super Superman type. There's a lot of potential in either direction or whatever direction they choose to go. And I kind of like seeing these alternate takes on superheroes by these smaller publishers because they can do fun stuff like this that you really can't do in a Marvel or DC universe kind of a setting just because you've got the continuity, you've got the baggage, all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to be checking this miniseries out. It's $2.99. It's 24 pages, mature themes. It's a three-part miniseries. DCBS has a 45% discount on it, but you know it should be fun. And like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing kind of their take on what it sounds like a superhero coming out of our world, how he would stand up to his more heroic counterpart in essentially a comic book superhero world. So should be fun. Check it out. Again, that's on page 322 of the previews catalog.
All right, boys and girls, Jack, once again, my last pick. And we're going way back to the scary, deep, dark area of previews, page 339, and Wally Wood, Strange Worlds of Science Fiction, hardcover. This collects a bunch of the 50s Wally Wood stuff from Captain Space and Space Ace, Strange Worlds, Space Detective, all that good spacey stories. The reason I included this preview in here is for those of you that are like, oh, I can't afford the $125 artist edition Wally Wood, how will I eat? Here's how. You can just pick up this book. It's only $27.97 through DCBS and get your Wally Wood fix. So that's my final pick. Good luck to everybody. Take care. God bless. Enjoy.
Next, moving out of comics, just something I wanted to point out to people. If we have any Doc Savage fans out there, I know I'm a huge Doc Savage fan, and You know, Doc really came from the pulp novels. A lot of the comic book interpretations have not done justice to Doc, in my opinion. On page 359, we've got a prose novel, the first in 20 years from Doc Savage. And we've got novelist Will Murray, who has done a lot of Doc Savage stuff. And in this one, he is going to be writing a story based on an unfinished exploit written by Lester Dent, who is the creator and writer of the majority of the pulp Doc Savage novels. So what we have here is something called The Wild Adventures of Doc Savage, Volume 1, The Desert Demons. And it says, when California skies fill with howling red cyclones that devour man and machine alike, the man of bronze rushes from his fortress of solitude to combat the greatest threat he's ever faced. Are the desert demons a man-made menace? A thing from beyond? Well, we're going to find out, at least I'm going to find out, when I read this 250-page softcover novel that's coming out from Will Murray, based on an unfinished novel by Lester Dent, page 359 of your previews catalog.
My other pick this month is more of a call-out than a pick. It's on page 373 in the Graffiti Designs apparel section, specifically the Metal Men t-shirts. I had ordered these back when they originally came out, and they were being released in waves of two. And I got the first four shirts, but the last two, Iron and Platinum, were canceled on me. Now, according to this, they're being offered again, but I never saw the resolicit, so I've been wandering around with these four shirts, missing the last two. I'm not sure if I'm the only one, but anybody who may be looking to complete their set of Metal Men t-shirts, here they are. I will definitely be ordering mine, and I may even order the one with the picture of the Metal Men. Nice thing about these shirts, the ones with the Alchemist symbols on them, are they are nice kind of comic geek shirts, very subtle. You maybe find a true comic nerd, as it were, that could come up and talk to you, recognizing the symbol, or you may find someone who is a chemist or an alchemist who will come up and start a conversation with you. Anyway, these are great call-outs to the Silver Age. They're nice shirts if you're into collecting the t-shirts and wearing them. Highly recommend them. Now back to the guys.
So, I don't know about you, Bob, but for me, this is actually turning out to be a little bit of a smaller month than some of the ones we've had recently. And I actually attribute some of that to DC, because even though I'm getting all 52 of those second issues, plus a couple, really all the miniseries they're starting up, and a few things in Vertigo and stuff, actually, I think my DC stuff is down a little than it had been over previous months. So
yeah, mine also, well, actually, my DC's up a little bit. I don't know, just in general, because I've been cutting back on comics. I mean, my comics buy was only about only, you know, for civilians out there. They're like, you're insane, but like $330, you know, after discount. And that's kind of filtering out at the end, you know, my two Bowen mini busts and all those Eagle Moss figures, which are a couple of $100.
Yeah, those definitely stack up. For me, the comics, after discount total up to $356.34. I've got a couple of trades in there. I've got that complete run of the Secrets of Isis DVD for like, after discount, it's like $6.25. It's like, I'll pick that up.
Is that the old TV series?
Yeah. We were talking about that on the previous call last night.
I know. I think I stepped away a bit and then I came back and someone was talking about a Winnebago, so I caught on that it was the Captain Marvel thing, but I wasn't making the connection that there was a actual offering.
They, for $8 or $7.99 or whatever, they're doing the complete Secrets of Isis series. They say it's complete, but I question that because it crossed over with the Captain Marvel stuff enough.
I'll have to check that out. That's something that you're probably better off buying through Diamond anyway, because you're not as likely to find it kicking around the video store.
You might see it at a Walmart or Target or whatever on the cheap aisle or whatever, but you know, it's like this way I don't have to go hunt for it. And again, $6.25, I don't think I'm going to get much better of a price on that. Maybe a couple of bucks, but even at $6.25, I'm
even at like the I guess $8 is the
yeah
retail price on it. It's like, wow, that's pretty cheap.
And this is not the exact same Isis character that we got in 52 and stuff, but pretty much the original basis for that. The difference is DC owns the one in 52, Filmation owns the other one, or whoever owns what's left of Filmation, I should say.
They did a 8-issue or so comic series of that back in the 70s, around when it was on TV, I believe.
I think I've picked up all 8 issues. At one point I was missing one, but I think I filled in that gap. So I enjoyed the show as a kid. It was good. So I'm not getting a whole lot in the back half of previews, which really I don't think is any surprise to anybody. I'm getting 25 items there. Marvel is still kicking out a lot of stuff. I am getting 73 items from Marvel. From Image, where I know you get a lot, I'm not getting all that much. I'm getting a total of 14 items.
I'm getting like 34 items from Image, so
I'm only getting 4 from IDW. DC, I'm getting 63, whereas before I'd be getting a bit more, but again, they were smart to ramp down with the start of the 52 new titles and kind of go from there, and yeah, only getting 4 from Dark Horse.
I'm getting more DC than you because I'm getting 10 Vertigo books, so I'm getting 66 DC books, but I'm getting way fewer Marvel books. I'm getting 29 Marvel books, which is actually up a little bit from last month. I think I only got 24 or 25. But my big thing is Image, where I'm getting the 34 books. You know,
well, Image has a great diversity right now. They've done a good job on that. A lot of it's not the kind of stuff I personally, you know, want to be reading or whatever, but I respect how they're in a bit of a growth period and not just doing more of the same. One of the things that frustrates me a little with Marvel at times is it feels like it's just more of the same.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, you look at Marvel and DC and it's like, it's not a knock, but I mean, they're all generally kind of the same kind of superhero stories. I mean, DC, I would say with the new relaunch, there's maybe going to be a little more diversity when you know, go to like their Dark and their Edge and things like that. So they're not all quite as homogenous. But Image, there's just so many different kinds of things. You know, when you go from, you know, Witchblade to Blue Estate to Breed to Butcher Baker, Chew, Elephant Men, Invincible, Walking Dead, Moriarty, Morning Glories, Pigs, Red Wing, all these things are very different kinds of books, you know, and they're all kind of hitting a different thing that I like. And it's just so many different cool things that they're doing. I'm really enjoying this kind of renaissance at Image lately, that just for the wide variety, you know, of things that they're putting out.
Yeah. It's a good time to be reading comics. It's, very, you know, exciting time in many respects. Again, we're getting the relaunch from DC. Marvel's got some good stuff coming out. Image, again, the huge diversity. The back half, there's a ton of publishers there, some of which aren't that big and just doing one or two really cool titles. But again, I think there's something out there for everybody. And if you're not finding it, you either need to look harder or ask some people to help you look. Because I seriously think that no matter what your tastes are in storylines and genres and stuff, I'd be very surprised if there's not something that at least tries to meet that. Now, whether you'd like it or not is another matter. But I don't think anyone could say, oh, well, I only like, you know, this type of story, you know, werewolves or spies in the 60s or, you know, time travel or superheroes or, you know, mystery or whatever, and that there's not something at least trying to address that target audience.
Right. Oh, I might point out, we didn't do a clip on it or anything, but on page 186 from Image, they got the Infinite Horizon, issue number 5. This is by Gary Dugan with art by Phil Noto. This is a series that the first 4 of 6 issues came out a number of years ago, a long time ago, and I remember really liking it. I love Phil Noto's art, though he's one of my top favorite artists. And here they're doing issues 5 and 6. They're finishing off the series, which is actually something that you don't see very often. Usually if a series kind of ends, when they come back and finish it off, they just put out a trade paperback and you need to rebuy the four issues you already had to get the two issues you hadn't read. And here they're putting out issues 5 and 6 as individual comics. So anybody out there who's, you know, one of the 50 people who, you know, actually read this series back when it came out, you know, five, six years ago, you know, take a look at that if you want to read the rest of the series. So,
well, I mean, that's really a tough situation for both the creators and the publishers of, it's been so many years since the earlier issues. Do they republish them as issues? They may not sell well because people already have them. Do they go straight to trade? Do they just continue? It's almost to a degree a best of bad choices sort of situation.
Yeah, they're doing an offered again on the first four issues, though, which is actually kind of nice.
That's probably one of the best solutions to the whole thing. Of course, the best solution to the whole thing is to have just gotten it all out on time. But, you know, that's not always in the cards for a variety of reasons. As always, we have open submission policy on these episodes. When previews comes out or when you see the online solicitations, you see something you're interested in, please record a quick MP3. We've got instructions on our forum on how to do that. Or if you have questions, ask us. And let us know what you're interested in, what you think people should be reading, and why. The whole point of these episodes and why we do it at the solicitation cycle part of the game is to help people find stuff they're going to be interested in that they may not know about, and do it at a time when they can either pre-order through a place like DCBS or go to their retailer in person and say, hey, I've got a pull list with you. I want this. It's going to come out in a couple of months. You can order it now. That way the store gets the sale. You get the comic. Everybody's happy. You know, it's really, I think, the most effective time to be getting people interested in material that they may not know about or may otherwise miss. Because a lot of stores, certainly for the back half of previews, for the lower selling titles, which frankly these days include some Marvel and DC titles, not all of those titles are guaranteed to be on the racks at every store. So if you want to be sure to get something you're interested in, the best way to do it is to tell your retailer. You know, we're trying to help out the retailers that way. We do mention the DCBS discounts, but that's just because that's where Bob and I shop, and we know a lot of our listeners do too. We're not trying to steer people away from local stores, because local stores are really the backbone of the industry. And frankly, you know, DCBS isn't just an internet store. They've got a brick-and-mortar store too. It's someday I'd like to go visit.
Yeah, and you know, the thing with DCBS, and this is not a knock against DCBS, but I mean, you know, you have to pay shipping on the books. You know, and you have, you know, maybe get them only monthly. I mean, if you're getting a certain number of books, I mean, like for John and I, we get a lot of books, right? So, you know, we get weekly books, and even then we get them like 5 or 6 days after they're out on the stands. You know, if you're, you know, a lot of people, they get 15, maybe 10, 15 comic books a month, and that's great. If I was buying 10 or 15 comic books a month, I absolutely would not be buying them online. I would be going to my local shop, and I would be, you know, buying them there when they come out.
Yeah,
I would have
an
pull list for
scale.
Them, though. You know, for the ones that I collect regularly, I would have a pull list for them.
Yeah, no, totally. So anything else, or does that pretty much do it?
That does it for me.
Cool.
Looking forward to the new 52.
Yeah. By the time we do the next one of these, I think we'll have started to see some of the first issues. So,
yes.
We should have by then. So, be interesting to see how people are reacting to those, what they're going to have in the third month, and kind of how that starts to work out for DC. Very exciting times.
They're coming out in about 2.5 weeks, right?
Yeah, so cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.